welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of LifeWay Christian Resources.
When you do a blog post, you can almost predict whether or not you're going to have significant interaction, which means comments and people with their opinions. And so when I wrote the blog post a few weeks ago on church committees, and I talked about some things, challenges of church committees, there was some fascinating interaction. Absolutely.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Spirited.
Passionate.
And angry.
Yeah, some of it was angry. I didn't try to engender anger, but sometimes those things.
Committees do that.
Yeah, especially defending committees. But let me offer this caveat before I go any further. Not all committees are bad.
No.
Not all committees have no purpose. Many, to put it in the positive, many committees have a good stated purpose. I talked to a pastor not too long ago that said, I wouldn't give up the committees in my church for anything because they function, they do their job, and they take a lot of responsibility that I would otherwise have to do off of me. So I've got to give the caveat that there are some very good committee systems that are out there. Now, having said that, there are a lot of bad committee systems that are out there, and they seem to be more bad than good. And when they're bad, they really hurt the church. They really cause the church problems. So we're going to talk about some of the negative, and we'll talk about some of the positive along the way as well.
Yeah, before we get there, we want to remind you that Rainer on Leadership is brought to you by Vander Blumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. Let's jump into this today. What's the big deal with church committees? Number one, a lot of times committees have forgotten their purpose.
Yeah, I gave the example in the blog post. This was actually a church council meeting, which is a form of committee meeting. And it would go on forever and ever. I was the
pastor.
Did you have to
be at the church council?
I had to be at the church council because it was the organization of organizations.
So it was like the Sunday executive school committee kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, you would have the groups or Sunday school director there. You'd have the treasurer there. I was there. In fact, you had all lead staff there. And we would sit around a table, and they scheduled it for 2 hours.
Oh.
But we rarely finished within 2 hours.
And at night?
Yeah, at night. Oh, it was on Sunday nights after a Sunday evening worship.
Grief.
Maybe that was another reason why I was so ornery when I go to those meetings. And we would just go on and on. So I had to find out.
Who led the meeting?
The moderator. It was not I.
And he was like the chairman of the deacons or something? Or?
No, he was the moderator.
Okay.
That was his title. That was we had an elected moderator. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And so he ran the meeting. He wanted to get to the calendar and look at, now on this day we have this going on. And,
isn't that something else you've been doing in staff meeting though?
Jonathan, don't
I'm
tell me
to make my, sense of things that, that
don't yeah. tell me my flaws. There were a lot of things I did wrong, and that was just, and I would sit through it. And y'all, you have seen me in meetings when I get a little antsy.
Actually, I haven't.
You haven't?
I haven't been in a lot of meetings with you.
Okay, well, I get really,
and usually the ones that I'm in with you are really good.
Okay,
because they deal with books or the website.
Okay, well, I can get into a meeting, and if it's directionless or if someone's droning on and on, I just don't have much patience.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And, I guess so. I mean, you've got the gift of being offensive.
Oh, come on.
So I'm just...
That lady at the Hertz rental place will be okay.
Yeah, in a couple, 3 or 4 months, because you don't even speak to her. I'll get into this particular committee meeting, and I was just miserable. And I know my misery had to show through. But here's what I finally did. I went back. And all I did was read the bylaws. What was the purpose of the church council at this particular church? The purpose of the church council was to coordinate ministries.
Really vague, though.
Yeah, but it can be good so that everybody's heading in the same direction. So the children's minister knows what the student minister's doing, so we're not just
alignment.
Going. Alignment from Simple Church. Eric Geiger and my authorship there. And so we finally got back to, let's do alignment. We say the calendar for our staff meeting. Let's talk about alignment. And the 2-hour plus meeting became an hour meeting. It's still long, And but we didn't meet every week at this time. We started going to every month instead of
that was
every,
a weekly.
Yes, it was weekly.
Holy
that was another
moly!
Reason, that was another reason why I had to kill it. And so I got a couple of people mad at me because it was their turf. But here was the major issue: the committee had forgotten its purpose. And most people thought it was a calendar committee. No, it was a coordinating committee that uses the calendar. And so you can look at many of the committees, and you can learn that hey, we've forgotten our purpose.
Mm-hmm. How do you remind a committee of its purpose without getting, you know, a dozen people fuming mad at you?
Well, you're probably going to get some pushback or anger when you remind someone of the purpose of the committee. We all get comfort in our routines. We all get comfort mm-hmm. in the way that we've always done it. So you're asking a question that has almost an impossible answer to it. There will be some who will push back, and there will be some committees that simply will keep on doing things the way they've done it, no matter what you've said. But the way you do it is you say, this was the stated purpose. Are we accomplishing our purpose? Let's mm-hmm. be honest. Yeah. Are we accomplishing
our purpose? Would you people like an hour and a half of your week back?
Yeah, and some of them will say, this is my ministry time, which we'll get into
yeah.
in just a moment.
Well, a lot of times committees meet even if they don't have a reason to meet.
Yeah, I that's the second one. And I gave an example of the time I went to a church, and I went to one church where the committee had seven consecutive monthly meetings, and they had no agenda. And they had no agenda when they got there. Not only did they not have an agenda before they got there, they had no agenda when they got
yeah,
there.
And if you went back and listened to our meeting or our podcast on staff meetings, rule number one,
have an agenda. And so what did they do? They drank coffee.
That's a good question. What did they do?
Someone would always bring coffee and refreshments for the non-meeting meeting.
Got to have refreshments for meetings.
Yeah, and so it became a fellowship time. And some people actually liked it, and they said, well, this is one of my favorite times.
Because we don't do anything, and we get to eat. Sign me up.
Yeah, that's called a meal.
Yeah.
instead of a committee. So make certain that there is a reason to meet. One of the comments, there were many good comments on this particular blog, but one of them was particularly insightful. He said, you really need to check the bylaws. Because the bylaws of some churches require you to meet.
Yeah.
And so you're in violation of the bylaws if you don't. So mm-hmm. you need to change the bylaws.
Got to stay in compliance.
Got to stay in compliance with the bylaws. And so if you don't have if you don't have a purpose or if you don't have an agenda, that might call for a bylaw change or removal.
Okay.
And that's another challenge in itself.
Yeah, it is. But a lot of times you could probably, even if it wasn't the bylaws, you could say that, there is no agenda. This committee will wait until something comes up. I guess that's something you could do in the bylaws. I don't know
how
bylaws work.
But it was a good reminder from one of the readers.
It is.
That's why I appreciate so much the audience.
They're smarter than we are.
Oh, they are. TomRainer.com and Rainer on Leadership.
Number three, some committees attract control freaks.
And I identified the two types of committees. If it's dealing with money, or if it's dealing with people or personnel issues.
Because that means power.
That means power. But a caveat. I always have to have my caveat.
Yep. Not everybody on those two committees are control freaks.
There you go. I'll give a shout out to one of my favorite people of all time. Her name is Helen Peavler. Helen was chairperson of the personnel committee at the Green Valley Baptist Church in Birmingham. One of the greatest leaders I have ever been around. She was in HR with Bell, and she was a corporate executive and still is. I think she's getting close to retirement, but she still is. And Helen only did it for service. She didn't need more stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of the most incredible leaders I've ever been around. I loved being accountable. That was my source of accountability to the personnel committee. And she not only held me accountable, but she had my back as well. And so
you like those kind of people.
Oh, I absolutely like those kind of people. So I think of the Helen Peavlers of the world, and I think of the really good ones. Now, on the finance committee, it was a whole different situation. I've told you those stories.
You had one that did not give.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was at that church.
No,
what church,
I'm not going to tell which church, but
you had a finance committee chairman who wasn't financing.
I went one of my churches. Yeah. I did not. I I wasn't supposed to find out, but I've told you the story. The finance secretary said she just had to tell me that the chairman of the finance committee not only did not give, but had never given to the church. Why was he on the finance committee?
Wanted the control.
You control the money, you control a lot. You control the personnel, you control a lot.
Number four, it's hard to kill a committee.
Yeah.
I love the line you used in here. Easier to kill an elephant with a BB gun than to kill a committee.
And then I love one of the comments that came back. It may have been on Twitter instead of in the comments. Yeah. He said, yeah, but once you shoot them with a BB gun, they really get mad. So if you're trying to kill them and you don't, if you're trying, it better get dead. It's going to come back.
Use
the big gun. Have you ever seen an elephant gun?
I know I haven't.
I've seen one in a picture. I just haven't. Okay. Those are big.
I bet we know somebody that has one.
I bet we do, too. And those are big guns that probably knock people down when they fire those guns.
But we're not for big game hunting in Africa. That's a bad thing in the news world right now.
You're diverting too much.
Anyway, killing a committee.
Yeah, I was in a church not too long ago. 17 committees.
Oh, my word. How big was the church?
About 400.
That's too many.
Yeah. What's that ratio? I mean, that is the 400 was the attendance. Looked at what they had. No, let me take that back. The attendance was more like 600.
Okay.
Looked at the number of committees they had. Then I looked at how many they really needed, what they could merge together. Three committees were all that was really necessary. Mm. And some of the committees were not meeting contrary to the bylaws. So they were supposed to be meeting, but they'd given up because they didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
So they were in violation of the bylaws. Why? Because there's someone that is going to have sentimental attachment to a committee for some reason. Yeah. There's someone that is going to have an emotional attachment because this is the way that we have always done it. And then there's some who are going to see the committee as their way of controlling the church. Mm. And if you talk about combining a committee, like combining finance and personnel into an administrative committee, that may be a bad example.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you are going to find some people who will have a very resistant attitude toward that. And so think diligently before you form a committee. It is a lot easier not to start a committee than to kill a committee. So what do you do? Let's say this. You have a project that needs to be done in the church. It's a typical committee approach to it, and you would really like to get some lay people, maybe staff people as well, on this committee. Don't call it a committee.
What do you call it?
Call it a task force.
Okay.
That's
ministry team,
a ministry force, task team, whatever. And particularly if you can have a beginning point and an ending point. This task force will get this done, and once the task is done, it's over. Or by a certain date, it is over. So be careful on forming committees, because committees conform to the doctrine of perseverance of the committees. They just once they're created, they sustain themselves forever and forever. So be careful about starting committees and look at alternative ways and ask the question, do you really need a committee?
So would a pastor search committee really be a pastor search task force in that sense?
It would be, but everybody
calls it that.
Everybody calls it that, or most everybody that has a
their scope is more like a task force.
Their scope is exactly like a task force. They are started for a purpose. There's a conclusion. As a matter of fact, sometimes I have to encourage pastor search committees to stay longer than they think they are.
Yeah.
Think they should.
Yeah.
Because pastor search committees will often conclude once the pastor is called, but they're a good transition team for 6 months to a year.
Go back and see that pod or that blog post about that we just did recently back in
what to do after the
August, I believe.
What a search committee should do after the pastor is called. So yes, a pastor search committee really is a pastor search task force or any type of them, but be very, very careful on forming new groups. Back in the days when everything was a committee, everything had structural authority, and therefore they tended to stay for years and years.
I guess number four, also, if you're trying to kill a committee, that's another time you go back to the bylaws and the constitution of the church to check exactly what is required.
Right.
And then, you know, we talked about how to try to kill the committees. That's not easy, but at least you know, all right, we have to have these four or five bare minimum committees. These other ones are just in excess.
Which brings up a good question. What committees are the bare necessities. It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. It depends on what type of other groups you have in the church that function in that fashion. You may have elders that take some of the committee responsibilities in churches, but you ongoing standing committees, you need whether it's a standing committee, elder, or something, you need ongoing personnel help and financial help. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that need to be ongoing in some form or another.
And maybe a ministry committee or ministry team after that?
I don't know. Sometimes you can do ministry team as more task forces than ongoing.
Okay.
You can look at it either way.
Bare minimum, probably those two.
Those two as a bare minimum, yeah. Exactly.
And the fifth and final point, and what's the big deal with church committees, is that unnecessary committees and committee meetings often replace ministry.
The most valuable resource is not money. The most valuable resource is not material goods. The most valuable resource is time. Ask a family member. They want mom or dad's time. Ask a husband or wife. They want each other's time. Time is the most valuable commodity. When you are having committee meetings on and on and on, you're typically taking away time that could be ministry. Every minute of a committee time is a minute that could be spent in ministry. One of the comments came through, and I really appreciate hers, because she said, can you tell me the difference between a ministry and a committee? Well, a committee is typically formed for something that is inwardly focused, typically. It is typically a certain number of people that can be selected, and there's a very defining process. A ministry, yeah, it can be inward, but it's also, many of them are also outward, and usually it has a more open, it is more inclusive, whereas a committee is exclusive. You name the people to it, and then that is that. Nobody else is a part of it. And so ministry really is looking beyond the church or beyond ourselves, even if we minister to people within the church. Committees usually take care of the ongoing functions of the church, internally focused, and therefore they can replace ministry. Do we need committees? We need something like committees. Do we need as many committees as we have? Most of the time, the answer is no.
Well, that brings up a good possible way to kill those committees. Is it by defining, all right, what does this group of people do? They focus on a ministry that is outwardly focusing. Okay, we're not going to call them a committee anymore. We're going to call them a ministry team and put them under the minister or whoever the leader is.
There you go.
For that area. And then, okay, this personnel team committee, they meet and focus on internal issues in the church. We'll keep this committee.
Right.
And you know, you start to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff there.
Well, I don't know if that's the best metaphor, yeah. But it's you're right. So much of this is nomenclature.
Yeah.
Once you name something a committee, it sounds like it is going to be around forever. Yeah, going to be official. It has the stamp that the church has commissioned them to do this task, and it will last a long time if that is the case.
And then if you were to take it and say you had a children's ministry committee. I'm just making this up because of my wife here. But turn that into a children's ministry leadership team or advisory team or something like that to help the children's minister or the children's director, whoever that may be in your church, whether it's paid or a lay-led, that kind of takes it away from it and focus it outward.
Yeah, I think one of the issues is we've had a lot of ministries named committees and a lot of committees that are committees, and we've confused the two. And as a result, it's hard to kill any of them.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. It is a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as through local church involvement. But their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. Find out more about TEDS at divinity.tiu.edu. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
There is so much that needs to be done in our local churches, particularly in our churches in America. There is so much that needs to be done structurally. There's so much that needs to be done from a ministry perspective. I am not suggesting for a minute that church committees are the solution, or doing away with church committees are the solution to many of the ills that many of our churches have. But I am saying that church committees are often symptomatic of the issues our churches have. We have inward focus. What are our people doing? They are in committee meetings. We have dissension. Why? Because of committees that have dissension among themselves. So when I start talking about looking at what the big deal is with church committees, what I'm talking about is Is the church primarily inwardly focused or outwardly focused? I've done enough consultations, and I've been in enough churches over the years, and I'm old enough that if I see a church with a lot of committees, if I see a church that is spending a lot of time in committees, I can almost guarantee you that church is inwardly focused, attendance is typically on the decline, and you typically have a lot of frustrated people. Once again, committees in themselves are not bad, but we often forget why these committees were created, and as a result, we have these inwardly focused groups that do more harm than good. So my admonition to those of you who listen to this podcast is go back and look at your committees. Look at your committee structure. Look at the time spent and see if it's helping the church more or hurting the church more. You may find it is more inwardly focused instead of outwardly focused, and as a result, there may need to be some change to be done, but as I always say, be careful out there. Don't change things so quickly that you're going to lose your job or at least your influence as a result. Church committees can be good. Many of them struggle and cause the church to struggle as well.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.